Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. We're going to be looking at a message, picking up where we left off about Genesis chapter 10. As we get to looking at this today, if we're looking at a particular individual, Genesis 10 has to do with the connections, how everybody's connected as far as after they got off the ark. And the first part of this chapter we're looking at, the first and last parts, deal with the descendants of Noah. You got Shem, Ham, and Japheth get off the ark, and the people's descended after them. And then you got the descendants of the guy we're going to look at in verses 8 through 14, which is the descendants of Nimrod, and about him today. This chapter has 32 verses and 495 words, all inspired by God and preserved forever in our King James Bible. This chapter at a 4.0 grade level, thank God. Everybody gets an N on this, except probably it's third and under, right? Okay. The only problem is that folks don't know what level they read on. Do you know that? First test I took in college, I thought I'd at least be high school level. You know, I think I clocked in at fourth or fifth grade. I can't remember. When that lady got through ringing us through the ringer in that reading class, I was up to about a 15, 16. But I'd start off thinking I knew something, found out I didn't know anything. And I don't ever take for granted the Lord don't show you this, because some of this stuff you won't know unless the Lord shows you. It's got to be Him showing you through His Spirit. But as we start off, look at verse number 8. Verse 6 says, and the sons of Ham. So number one is Cush there. Remember him. Mizraim and Put and Canaan. Whose land is it that Joshua conquers? That guy's right there. Okay? And he used the children of God to get rid of all the things in it that wasn't of God, and they all came from Canaan. It all came from Ham there. It says, and the sons of Cush in verse 7, Seba and Havilah and Sabtah and Raamoth and Sabtikla, I think it says, or Sabtikla, and the sons of Raamah, Sheba, and Dedan. And watch this, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Okay? And it says about that, and Urca and Akkad and Calne in the land of Shinar. And he goes on through to describe the other descendants and gives them about the sons of Shem down there in the later part. We're going to look at this man Nimrod today. Anybody ever called you a Nimrod? That's a bad word to be called. That's a very wicked man. I think some of y'all might have said it to somebody this morning, or not. But we're going to look today at the developments associated with this man Nimrod. As we look at it, I want to remind you that the Bible is not given in chronological order in every sense. Because chapter 11 in Genesis, this is heavy, so don't miss this. Chapter 11 comes before chapter 10 somewhat, as far as what happens in them. That's not uncommon for the Bible to do. You go study the Gospels, you'll find out everything's out of order until you put all four of them together and look at them. Incredible, ain't it? You know why God did that? Me either. But boy, it sure does get the liberals and the God haters when He does. But as you look at this, and we look at Nimrod, there's some developments associated with him in the Bible that we need to make sure we understand. Number one development is the meaning of his name, Nimrod. You call somebody a Nimrod, this is what you tell them. Number one definition for his name is rebel. Is rebel. The number two name, the number two thing associated with his name is the word panther, like those big black cats. Not the Carolina ones. Ones in the motherland over there, the ones that's in the zoo. And I'll get to you about this thing about a panther in a minute, but a panther's known for its rage. I would have thought stealth, but its rage is what he's known for. If that thing comes after another animal, it bites, either it's dead or that thing's dead. They don't just square off. The thing's just, there's something about them things. I read a thing about them this week that they will just fight and fight and fight. And the more they fight, the mightier they get. They just keep on going. If you're going to run up on one of them things, you better have a gun that will drop him on the spot, because he's going to fight till he dies. And for all you hunters out there, you tell me if I'm telling the truth. One shot, you just don't make them die on the spot. Is that right? All you deer hunters? Well, just imagine if you was a bear hunter. You better get a big gun because he ain't going to drop them first shot. And you better shoot him in the right place or he's just going to be mad. There was a lady I saw, and I don't know the whole story behind this. She killed a giraffe. And it had a picture of her wrapped up with that giraffe's head like over her shoulder. You know, like she couldn't carry the thing. You had to get a crane in there and get it or something. But the thing about that is, those things are not nice creatures either. I think that'd be the last thing I'd want to hunt that's big enough it could eat out of the 15th story of a building. You know, and get the apples that's good on top of the tree and all that. I wouldn't fool him. We was down at the zoo here a while back and saw that one of them make another one, knew it wasn't welcome there. He took that big old head, and his head's the size of a small car, and just took his whole neck, just whacked that thing and knocked it over. And it sounded like two cars hitting each other, with minus the shattering glass, of course. But listen, that word panther and that word rebel, that first picture of his name is a picture of basically of rebellion and rebellion in people. See, in the next chapter, in chapter 11, you're going to find them say us a couple of times. But what it gets bad is when God says us, and he discludes them into us. You see, that Nimrod, he's a big rebel. Most of you are rebels. You're either a passive rebel or you're an active rebel, but you got rebellion so built up inside of you, bless your heart, you got to let God cover that in the blood and start rooting it out of there. Right. You ought to ask God to help you with your rebellion problems. And what are we rebels against? Have you got a wristwatch on? You got some kind of thing on your phone where you watch the time? That's the number one thing we rebellious against, time. Can I get a witness? Don't let the rain outside bring you down. Let this water wash you clean. A lot of folks just rebellious to the time. So how do you know? I can tell how they act when they get there and what they say when they leave. They didn't like where they was at and they didn't enjoy the time spent there. Is that right? If you were to be honest today and tell the truth to God, the world, and everybody, there's things you look back on you did, you don't like them. It makes you mad, but you go do them again. You're just a passive rebel while you're there. You know what, you know what the Republicans were while Obama was president? They were just passive rebels. That's all they were. You know what the Democrats are now that they're Republican president? They're active rebels. They're rebels either way. See, somebody came up with a theory a while back that you got to rebel sometimes it's good. Well, if that be the case, where's the crowd? Listen, where's the crowd that's rebelling against Satan at? Ain't nobody rebelling against him. They'll say, well, give the devil his due and all that other stuff. You go be friends with him all you want. As for me and my house, I believe we just serve the Lord and forget about him. We'll put ourselves on the whole armor of God and try to live for the Lord while everybody else is out practicing this passive rebellion with the devil. Yeah. Another thing, too, about that name, if you think of a panther, after seeing what I saw in pictures and some of those videos I watched, that's the way that thing deals with rage. And if you've got an unkempt temper and you get into a bad way, that rage will start throwing things against the wall. It'll say things a Christian wouldn't say. And the very fact about his name appearing only four times in the Bible, what's four in Bible numbers? That's the world, right? Yeah. There's a good picture of the world. They're rebellious and they rage against everything. It's God's. Mm-hmm. If they figure out it's of God, they'll start raging against it. Right. So how do you know? I've seen the sodomite community act up like that. Yeah. They don't just get mad and say, we'll agree to disagree. They get mad and want to kill people. Yeah. They get mad and walk down the streets without the clothes on. Mm-hmm. Where's the police at when that's happening? You may have a freedom to have that thing, but you ain't got a freedom to do that in front of God and everybody. At least not in this country, you don't. Right. Where are you at, police? Go lock them up. Amen. What's that thing they call that thing when you're indecent exposure? Yeah. Get them for that. Yeah. I mean, listen, these folks saying, well, if you go against them, then, you know, we ain't going to be friends. I don't care what you say. I'm still against them. Right. I don't hate none of them. I feel sorry for them if they're not saved. But I do see a lot of Nimrod in people and that rage and that rebellion. And if you'll come clean and be honest, you see it too. We don't live in the age of where everybody gets along. We live in the other one. It's called the church age. That's the age of grace. During the age of grace, while we're here, and during the church age, there's a lot of rebellion goes on during this time. And the reason there is because we let it happen in churches. As we looked at Wednesday night about things about the Bible and things about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ over there, about the false prophets and whatnot, I would scarce say this, that there's way too many people that when the false prophet comes in, they'll give them a high position to keep them there.
Yeah.
I've heard this about people. They give people a job so they keep them in church.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
One church I know about in particular, down in Greer, I believe it was either Greer or Greenwood, one of the Sunday school teachers they found out in a Baptist church was a Roman Catholic. The pastor said, "Now, how are you in this church if you're Roman Catholic?" She said, "They offered me the job of teaching, so I teach the children." She believes in Mary being the co-matrix, mediatrix between her and Jesus Christ, you know.
Yeah.
She believes that God don't accept grace. It's got to be grace plus works.
Yeah.
In particular, 6 out of 7 sacraments.
Yeah.
You know what the deal breaker is? Go from 6 to 7. Why you got to have 6 instead of 7? One of them's matrimony, and the other one's celibacy. You got to choose one or the other. Isn't that crazy? Here's the thing. That's rebellion. That's rebellion. God never said work your way to heaven. There ain't no work you can do to get there. But we see people rebelling against that. I see some of our own brethren rebelling against the Bible, going either one way or the other. But they rebel against the things of God by not showing kindness one another while they're doing it. I noticed that there's a particular word in the Bible that these brethren like to get into all the time. It's called debate. You know that's the sins of somebody that's of a reprobate mind? It's between murder and deceit, Romans chapter 1, down there about verse 28 and 29, somewhere down there. Listen, when you go to the library and you see books on the shelf, they generally associate together, right? So what if one shelf says murder, debate, deceit, them three are hanging together? What do you think? Who does debate hang out with? All the wrong people, you know. And Jesus put it like this way. He said it very plain. Now watch this. He said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of being like that."
Right.
And it was two Christians, James and John, doing all this stuff. "You know not what manner of spirit you're of." We was talking in Sunday school about the thing about the guy that was a Pentecostal preacher over here in another county. He's preaching, right? Funeral, in the funeral home. Boom, he drops dead. You know what they did? They go over and start laying hands on him and talking in tongues over him. The funeral director's desperate, trying, "Let me call an ambulance." "Oh, no, you don't understand the deeper things of God." He said they never apologized when they found that man had no pulse, and they just had to take him from that room back to the other one. Paramedics got there and said, "We can take him with us, but basically he's coming back here. He's already dead." What's that? Rebellion.
Right.
Rebellion. How do you come up with rage out of that? Tell them they're wrong. You'll find out.
Yeah.
Just tell them they're wrong. I've noticed that a lot of people keep saying that you can lose your salvation, yet they can't produce one soul example in the Bible where somebody did.
Right.
I've always looked at that. I've never seen where they produced one that said, "Yeah, he lost it and got it back." There's your example. There's not one there. God don't say that.
Right.
So what is this? Rebellion against the Word of God and rage when you tell them they're wrong.
Right.
You Nimrod. See, that's where that thing will fit. Now you know why it's a better insult once you use it for, right? But notice also not only the development as we see the meaning of his name, but down there and we see also about him, about the message of his name. What's so significant about him is he's the guy that owned the land where they built the Tower of Babel. He's the guy that started it, and then he was the guy later that they worshiped in that mystery Babylon religion that come from him. And looking at it together, what's this mystery of Babylon teach? It's never stopped its teaching. It teaches the same thing in this very day and age. And that is this. Come together in spite of what the Bible says. Somebody asked that I heard that the Pope tried to correct the Bible. I'm not shocked. He's done it since the 4th century. It's funny how they're putting out a Catholic version of the Bible. Now, did you hear about this? It's been out from 1972, and they put out a second one. And they put that thing out, but they encourage them not to read the Bible, but listen to their priest instead. So why did they put a Bible out to shut people like you up? It's funny how their Bible contains the Apocrypha dispersed in the Old Testament, but get this one. They don't even count that. They use it like most people use it. They use it to prove a point they already believe and take it out of context even in that business.
Right.
So what is that? That's the message of Nimrod. You go against the Bible. Nimrod, it said in there in those verses, what it said about him, he was a mighty hunter, verse 9, before the Lord. That being a mighty hunter tells me he hunted things, right? How about 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it's talking about the end times, says even so was James and Jambres. It talks about them men being ever learning but never able to come to the truth. They hunt. What's the message of Nimrod? Come together in spite of what God in the Bible says. But this is just the crazy part right here of anything. He is the 13th person from Adam in the lineage. You can't make this stuff up. You know rebellion is going to be associated with a man. You know rebellion is going to be part of what he's doing. You know him being from the 13th part, it's just a matter of time before the rebellion shows up. And what chapter of this Bible we in? Genesis in the 13th chapter and the 13th verse. There's your Sodomite showing up. Then you got the rest of these worlds showing up in chapter 14, verse 4, the first mention of the word 13. And we see this man was a rebel. Come together in spite of them doctrinal differences. Sounds like any of these modern churches you talk to now. I've never got quite to the part where I want to join one of them things, because always something bothers me about it. And what bothers me about it is this. I can't take you and hold you in what you'd call esteem if you don't believe that Jesus can save people.
Right.
I sure couldn't let you preach for me. I had to correct everything you said when I got done. I've asked everybody to lose their salvation. I've asked them all the same question. Have you ever lost yours? Well, I pray every night just to make sure. I had one guy actually admit he did. I said, did you go get baptized again? He said, no. Well, I've already been baptized. I said, you dismiss the things God says too quick to say you're a Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, if I believed I could lose and get it back, surely I'd want to be baptized again.
Right.
What do y'all think? I mean, let's, you know.
Come on.
But here's the catch of that. Nobody in the Old Testament loses their salvation and gets it back. Nobody in the New Testament loses it and gets it back. So where's this stuff coming from? It's coming from the spirit of rebellion. And if you don't believe it's there, tell them they're wrong. You'll see the spirit of rage, and you'll see both sides of Nimrod right there on one person.
Yeah.
I noticed when it's talking about this, him being the 13th person, his message has come together in spite of what God says. That, listen, you see that around here? They got ministerial things around here where everybody comes together. Somebody asked me a while back, said, you wouldn't stand with the Catholics against liquor? How would they stand against liquor? Their priest drinks every service.
Come on.
Somebody said, you won't stand with a such and such preacher up here with the city hall? Absolutely not. So why not? His own church won't ordain him because he doesn't have his house in order. How am I going to stand there with him with all that people knowing that? And then say, are you like him? He believes he can blither blather in tongues and he's got some kind of spirit on him. I say they're fake. This Bible says it's not needed, not necessary, and no longer in accordance with the scriptures.
Right.
That which is perfect has come, this word right here.
Right.
We got a perfect Savior and a perfect Bible because our perfect Savior wrote it.
Amen.
They got a problem with that. You don't have a problem with me. You got a problem with God.
Right.
How do you know they don't believe in a perfect Bible? Because they use 5 or 10 different versions. They believe God can take a ball of water and dirt and make it stay together and don't think he can write a perfect book and keep it from this generation forever.
Mom.
And then some moron comes up and says, well, what about between Jesus and the 1611? Where was the Bible then? I've been teaching church history for 14 years. It was it. The Bible's been there the whole time.
Right.
And then you come down and find a guy named Tyndale.
Yeah.
Listen, you'll appreciate your Bible more after you hear this. He died on the stake getting burnt to death. And after they burned him to death 100 years later, they called his backup body up to have his bones burned again.
Yeah.
Who are they? The mystery Babylon religion.
That's right.
Tyndale, if he's dying, says, Lord, please open the King of England's eyes.
Yeah.
That was his last words. Boy, you talking about a prayer God heard? He not only heard it, but when they done the King James Bible, 90% of the words of Tyndale is in this one. What was the Bible mean now? Is it every one of them manuscripts coming down the road to it?
That's right.
Now we got a perfect Bible from there on.
Yeah.
Well, what about the little Spanish boy down in the middle of Guadalajara? And he lives in a cardboard box. Give me his name and what alley he's staying in. We'll send him a Bible, and we'll get them people to get him one of them churches down there. Oh, there's not really a guy. Then why are you bringing him up? It's kind of funny how they bring up fake things and try to make the truth comprehend to that when you take the truth, the absolute truth of the Bible, and everything else falls before it.
Right.
You know what I heard recently? I heard somebody said, I'll take that challenge. We'll send his name. Mailbox right out there. Go ahead and send it.
Okay.
You can do it like all that other hate mail we get. You can do it anonymously. I preached a message against Southern Baptist Convention back in the 90s. They're sending me letters from all over. You just picking on poor old men. No, I wasn't. I said what they said 20 years ago when they were young men.
Yeah.
I told what they said. 20 letters from 20 of their colleges stating, no, there ain't no Bible in print that's the Word of God. Don't tell me how you had to be conservative swing. I don't believe it because I was in it when they said it's conservative. It's mighty liberal then. I read a book over there that a guy by Bob Jones produced that said this. That thing wasn't a makeover, it was a takeover. But now they've been took because the other crowd's taking it back. But wait a minute, they're all the same crowd.
Yeah.
Let's bring up abortion. Get your attention off that Bible issue. Is that what you're doing? Well, we need to look at interracial problems. Once you come to the South, let us show you how to do it. Y'all keep saying, we got all these problems. We don't have all them killings like that.
Yeah.
Let us show you how to treat people. There's nothing like Southern Charm and iced tea, honey. We best on both of them. I'm telling you. We talk to a crowd that wants their tea cold and a coffee hot. That's us.
Right.
They had to introduce hot tea to people down here. And they said, man, we like that. They said, why ain't we got that back home? I don't know, but I wouldn't go back if they didn't have it. But look at this. We got the message of Nimrod. It's one of out-and-out rebellion. But as you go down in life, you find out that people do certain things. They do something for people. And this is what they did for old Nimrod here. How about the monument of Nimrod? Just this past week, we unveiled a trophy for one of the greatest football coaches in high school in South Carolina. Down at Limestone College, my daddy played for him in his junior varsity year he was there. That's Coach Bob Prevett. He might have more championships in high school than Lombardi had in the pros. Back then when men played football, this is right after they got face masks, right? Listen to this. You know how they determine what linebacker got the spot? They put two of them in a ring, let them go out, and one get it by the other one. Now they do it by politics. Can I get a witness? Now we say, that's such and such son, he's getting a starting job in. No matter if he can block his way out of a wet paper bag, that's such and such son, he gets it. Say, so where's the monument of Nimrod? Right there in the middle of Babylon, or it was called Babel at the time. If you look over at Genesis chapter 11, you will see this thing. See, Babel becomes Babylon through the scriptures. You follow it through there. In chapter 11, verse 1. And the earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, here it is, let us. See that? Let us make brick and burn them throughly. And you know why he said thoroughly instead of thoroughly? Because thoroughly means they burnt the thing from the outside all the way through the inside to the other side. So the whole thing got. Is that right? That's why thoroughly is right in the New Testament every time they use it over there. All you modern New Day Bibles take out that and say thoroughly. Different word. Get this. If you go to Brick Kiln, you better hope they don't do them thoroughly. You better hope they burn them thoroughly. If not, you're sitting on a house of sand and don't even know it. Isn't that a sight? Pay $10,000 to the brick mason, $100,000 for the bricks, and a few years later the thing starts tilting. You say, why'd that happen? They wasn't thoroughly burnt. Third is to cover that outside. Do you want to eat cake for your birthdays? You guys that have birthdays, you want a thoroughly or a thoroughly cake? So what's the difference? One's gooey and chewy on the inside. Now, look at verse 4. And they said, go to, let us. See, there it is again. Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heaven, and let us make us a name. Why would they want to do that? Here it is. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. If you keep everybody in one spot, what does Nimrod's name mean again? What's his message? It's right here. Why are they going to do that? Because they know. They said an open defiance, an open rebellion before this book was ever printed, before it was wrote down the first time. They knew God would bust up their party. God told them to multiply and replenish the earth. That's the last command for Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The only one that agreed with the plan and a mental consent was Japheth. But he went along with Shem and Ham. Because everybody was doing it. Everybody was staying in Babel there. I mean, Babel. You know how we get the word babbling? Because let us shows up again. Look at verse 5. See, we see the monument there, but then we see the visitors to the monument. Because most times when you put a monument out, somebody comes and sees it. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now here it is. Go to, let us. Now God's going to show up. So look at your monument. Did God know it was already there? Sure he did. But he put it like this in the book so we'd get a perfect understanding. He went out there, way out there, couldn't see it. He was right up on top of it while he's doing it. Go to, let us. You don't think God's got a sense of humor? He knew what they said up there. That's why he said that. So who's us? Him and the angels. Him and Methuselah. Who knows? But it's people were already where God was, which is heaven. At that time, there were only two types of people there, and that's God and them angels. Go to, let us. You mean we can go look at this thing? Sure can. Let's go take a look at it. And what does he say about it? He said they're doing something they shouldn't do. They're supposed to be out replenishing the earth. Instead, they're trying to build a monument. And he says, go to, let us go down there. Confound their language. Every time you see the word confound, it says, the latter part of that verse, that they may not understand one another's speech. Every time you see the word confound, you hear some of these older folks say this, well, confound it. That means to let God make a mess of it. You ain't been taking that word out of context, have you? Grandpa in between spit and backer wasn't taking that out of context. He used it for a bad word, was he? Let us confound them. If that's the act only God can do, guess what? He done it right here, sure enough. He confounded their language. He confounded their attendance records. He confounded all that work they had done. And it says things that they might not understand one another's speech. Verse 9, verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all earth, and they left off to build the city. I read one commentator said this, and this is why you got to read these things with a grain of salt. He said it wasn't that they couldn't understand each other. Is that when they said that they just couldn't understand the verbiage of each other, and it made them feel, they were trying to think the other guy was against them, you know. That ain't what happened at all. The let us from heaven showed up and confounded their language and confounded their speech, and they couldn't understand each other. They had some kind of conspiracy. That's the word I'm looking for. They had a conspiracy what them other guys were doing. They just flat out couldn't understand them. I heard somebody say that Hebrew was the original language Adam spoke. I don't know if he spoke that or not. But whatever was being spoke here, all of a sudden one of them spoke Hebrew and one of them spoke something else and the other one spoke Chinese and the other one spoke Aramaic, and they didn't have the same language after that.
Right.
I look down in verse 9, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord, it says the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Confounded. They didn't get a conspiracy thought in their head. They was confounded. They didn't have no thought. They couldn't believe it. But one thing I've noticed, the monument of Nimrod is still bringing them together. The message of Nimrod's there, and they still all carry the meaning of his name. Right now, while you speak, right now, while you sit here, there's people that's been trying to negotiate peace treaties with foreign countries, and it's the biggest joke I've ever heard in my life. You know what they want to do? They want you to be friends with another country nowadays. You know what the UN's message is? Drop all your nationality and become one. That's what they did.
Yep.
Nimrod's a picture of who? The Antichrist. Yep. You know the Antichrist, what kind of horse he rides in on? It's a pale horse, Revelation 6. Not the white horse our Lord rides, but a pale horse. Everything the Lord does, the Antichrist will mimic it. And listen to this. This is where it's going to get way deep, and I hope you can swim your way back up, because I don't know if I can or not, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. Him being a hunter and being a picture and type of the Antichrist, do you know the Antichrist has got to have a temple when this thing comes along? Who builds it? Well, you just left behind build it. And get this. He's going to build his temple. It's going to look just like this one of all things. How about that? Whatever that one looked like, I don't know. I read a thing where a guy said it's 1.5 miles wide at the bottom. I don't know if that's true or not, but if that's the case, it kept getting smaller as it goes up. Can you see a period in what I just said? You ever seen that on something wicked before? Sure you have. It's on your dollar bill. E pluribus unum, 13 letters, 13 stars that the eagle's holding. Don't believe me. Look at your money. Don't get it out right now, though. Just pay attention to me. But what I do know is this. This Antichrist over here and that Antichrist over there in the end times, they share the same things. They both like rebellion. They both like rage. They love it. They want to see people. Listen, the devil comes to church whether you don't. And you know what you people talk about? Well, you missed it. Such and such got into it. Such and such. Don't you wish the devil hadn't got you out now? That's where we live at. That's how this age is. Listen, the message of Nimrod, what's the devil going to tell him over there? Well, he's going to become the Pope and the leader of the UN at the same time and sing a Beatles song instead of a Fleetwood Mac. He's going to say, come together right now over me. That's his message right there. Didn't think about preaching on John Lennon and the Beatles, but I must say this. I believe he had kept his mouth shut publicly about what he believed. God let him live longer. I may be wrong about that. When we get to heaven, we'll find out, but I do believe that. That's the man that said that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. How'd that work out for him?
Yeah.
One of his own followers gunned him down. At least none of the disciples killed Jesus there, John. Listen to this. The Antichrist is going to show up and he's going to want a monument made to him. The beast, the false prophet, and the who? The one that can make that image talk. Imagine that. These two books, Genesis and Revelation, all tying together like that. That false prophet will make that image of the beast talk. Isn't it something? I look at this and I say this. We're not near the end of the times. We are the end times.
Right.
We've got people right now that their message is identical with Nimrod. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get everybody together. They're wanting one speech, one language, but there's one thing they don't want. You know what it is? One Bible.
Yeah.
One Bible. If you don't believe in the Bible, as soon as we wrap it out of here, you don't ever have to hear about it again. Because
right.
He's going to do away with that first shot. You think it's bad now, people making fun of you being King James only? You wait till then, buddy. You hold on to a King James Bible during that time, they're not going to come ask you for it. They're just going to take you and they'll cut your head off because you won't denounce it. Them tribulation saints, bless their soul, they get a King James Bible and read some of this stuff that's left behind. They're going to be saying one thing, even so, come Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And we're worried about dinner somewhere. Shame on us. Mentioned Tyndale dying on the stake or on fire. Did you read your Bible any this week?
No.
His will to die for his.
Right.
You won't read yours. Wonder why things are so bad. Well, the Christians don't act like Christ. How are they supposed to act like it? Well, you can't. You have the fuel in the tank.
Right.
You're too nasty looking. You haven't been washed by the water of the Word. How do you get that stuff off of you? Read this book. Old Nimrod, listen, you don't find Nimrod supporting the Bible over here. He wouldn't, listen, he wouldn't if he had to. And the Antichrist is going to come along, and that's the first thing gets taken away, the Bible.
Yep.
Well, how are they going to listen to him? Through your cell phone you left behind. How are they going to see them witnesses over there get their heads cut off? Through that cell phone you left behind.
Yep.
It's going to be a bonanza when we leave. We're leaving iPads and iPhones and everything else behind, books and everything. They're going to say, throw all them books away, but you can keep them electronics after we wipe them. Free Obama phone for everybody. I swear I thought Jesus was coming then. They give away cell phones as much as everybody can have one. Then I found out from several people around town that wasn't the days of giving away free phones. You keep going saying, mine broke or whatever. They weren't paying their bills. Ain't that a sight? I ain't talking about lost people said this. Christian people said this. You wasn't one of them, was you? You wasn't up there get one free because it's free now, was you? Or because you wouldn't pay your bills, you was going up there and get one. Strange how people are in America, and we're the so-called Christian nation, baloney. We're more like a Nimrod nation. Listen, if this man is the embodiment and type of the Antichrist, listen, then you know what the Antichrist is going to look like when he comes. So how's he going to be a hunter? He's going to hunt all them people down to deny him and have their heads cut off.
Right.
Mystery of Babylon's already done that once before.
Yeah.
Say, when did they do it? From 500 A.D. to 1500 A.D.
Right.
Until everybody found out what they were doing.
Yeah.
You'll never believe in a million years who was financing the Pope. You'll never believe that who the Pope was financing in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two guesses don't count. And it wasn't America. It wasn't Italy. It wasn't Russia. They were financing Hitler because they believed like he did.
Yep.
I heard somebody say one time, now Hitler was a Lutheran because the Lutheran is a German church. No, 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 no. Hitler was a Roman Catholic. I know they don't like to claim him, but he was. And after the war, they said this, well, we were afraid he was going to kill our Pope. I thought you thought he was God in the flesh. How would he kill him? If you God in the flesh, what army can stand up against you? What did they do? Now that you still got all that $80 billion in gold located there at the Vatican, why don't you and them movie stars quit telling us poor people we need to support all these people as poor and homeless people? Why don't you help them some?
Right.
There's enough gold in the Vatican to feed the world for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Poor old Southern Baptist Convention said the world shut down, they could feed them 6 years. And the Pope still wouldn't come across with a dime. Put your money where your mouth is. Or do us all a favor. Move to Canada. I hear there's a lot of slots open in Mexico nowadays. Once you go down there, you like the sun so good.
There you go.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at this. We see that monument of Nimrod over here. And we see God just turn it over. So how could God do something like that? Because he's God, honey. They'd be glad he didn't bring real wrath down on that thing.
Right.
He just confounded their language.
Yeah.
Listen, Dave, do you know the Lord that come in and confounded those languages? Because, see, listen, those languages, he understands every one of them. If you hear today new Chinese and you need Jesus Christ, you can call on him in China's own language. Whatever they call it, Mandarin Chinese or whatever it is, you can call on him in Spanish, no matter which Spanish country you from, English, no matter which English country you from, he's listening and waiting for you. A lot of people debate this thought, but there's one thing they can't debate. Jesus still saves old sinners. He's still in the saving business. I think what a lot of people need is not a monument built to them, they just need to get right with God. I don't know if any of them people standing there were saved, but I know this. Shem was there.
Right.
Japheth was there.
Right.
Ham was there and all their descendants.
Yeah.
Was any of them people saved? Was any of them? I don't know either. But forget them. Are you saved? See, a lot of people, they won't hear me preach against all of them preach against them. How about you? Now we're not talking to the Pope. We're not talking to the Lutherans. We're talking to the Baptists. Are you saved? You know what I've met a lot of over the years? Lost Baptists. The late Adrian Rogers preached a message. I think it was him preaching on the wheat and the tares. And he preached that everywhere he'd go. And they'd go in big old fine churches. They'd have 100 people in the choir wearing them cool little robes and all that other stuff. I always wanted to turn around and see if Nature Boy was on the back of them. Because it's the only time you get to wear a robe that says Nature Boy on the back of them. It's the only time it's right for the Lord. But I've watched them things. I watched the video of this thing. Before he gave the invitation, half the choir was coming down there getting saved. Wheat amongst tares. Isn't that something? So, what were they? I was just Nimrod before, now they're Christians. Just a Nimrod. Yeah. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.